This is Beneath the Bricks, episode one. We're back.
We're back. Oh my God, we're back.
We are back, and there are no wires. We're kind of like going freestyle.
Yeah, wireless.
Woo! That's been fun. It's been a year, I think.
Yeah, about a year, I'd say.
And we've achieved absolutely nothing in that year.
No, nothing at all. If anything, we've gone backwards.
We have. Yeah. We've got some new microphones. Well,
yes, that's about it.
Which
about
may or may not be working. We'll find out in a little while.
Yeah, I know.
Which is fun, isn't it? Oh, cheers! Welcome back.
Cheers, all.
We're having a little drink. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking a 53 Brew in a 53 Brew cup.
You're
seeing us on the tickety-tockety, you'll see that. 53 Brew. Yum, 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 yum.
Mm. What's been happening, George? What's been happening? You've been on stage again?
Yes, I have.
That's not unusual.
Tom Jones.
I believe that was in the opening music, wasn't it?
It was in the pre-show, yeah. Very good. In the interval.
And you were in some MasterChef shit.
Which
tell us about that.
It won Offcut last year, the 15-minute version, which was a 15-minute short about cannibalism.
And less
cock in the 15-minute, but yes. And then it got converted into
that
full
length. Like the full length was full cock, but it wasn't.
No, a little bit of cock.
A little bit. Wrong with a little bit of cock.
Well, I let my mum come and see it, so it wasn't too much cock.
Oh, moving on. So that came from Offcut, didn't it?
It did indeed.
And that takes us swiftly on. We've just finished Offcut 2024, of which the winning play will be produced in full by 53.2 in 2025.
Indeed.
God, that's a long way away, isn't it?
No.
Who won Offcut 2024?
So Cougar won Offcut 2024, which I believe was in week one.
We were in week one. So was some MasterChef shit, absolutely. Maybe there's a thing.
Maybe there is a theme.
And that was with Morag Peacock and Ryan Hall. Morag, of course, was in Bare Left.
We love Morag.
Morag. Directed by Gemma Whiteley, written by Josie Harrison. And that will go into a full-length piece. We'll do a bit of R&D with it, and then we'll get it up and running just before Offcut 2025.
Like we've planned it.
Oh, God. I mean, a finely tuned engine.
What?
So that was good. It was good. Offcut was great, wasn't it? 2 weeks, 20 plays, audience decide, and then there's a panel to decide best director, best writer, best ensemble.
Indeed.
Which was really cool. What a couple of weeks.
It was
we've
beautiful.
Had Excess Malarkey as well.
Excess Malarkey every Tuesday.
What a staple.
None.
Best
a
comedy
staple.
In Manchester, if you believe our socials.
If you believe our socials and my sign, yeah.
Yeah. We've also had a deep clean. That was fun.
Oh my God, the deep clean. What a hoot that was. Yeah, I gave up on the shelves. The shelves were a load of old bullshit.
Yeah, also, I mean, this isn't public knowledge, but we had to build a wall.
Yeah, we did.
A la Les Miserables.
Les Miserables,
to stop burglars getting in and stealing everything we've got, which...
Are we publicising that? Cool, yeah.
Yeah, well, we didn't actually say that we had been burgled.
Oh.
But we might have insinuated that now. We've been burgled. If anyone sees a painting that's really expensive, could you return it to us? Hashtag bring it home. Oh, see what I did there? Isn't that from Les Mis?
Nearly him. Him.
Bring him home. See? Very good. Always on brand. And I'm currently reading scripts for Whip Week. Yeah! Not that kind of whip. Work in progress.
I know, but that's good.
Good. We'll do it again every time I say it. Whip Week. Whip Week. What week?
Whip Week.
Very good.
I was trying to figure out if to do the whip straight away or say Whip Week. But I said Whip Week.
Well, you can't do the whip without the Whip Week. Very good. Yeah, that's the 4th to the 7th of September. That's all work in progress. So we're actually going to do Wednesday night, Friday night, Saturday night. We could do a matinee on Saturday. Depends on how many scripts we've got. Two short plays a night or one long play. Friday night, we know we've got Bex Harrison's brilliant piece in.
Yeah.
We've already had the pleasure of reading
that.
Can you? Where were you?
I was at the Edge, but I'm not needed for the show. I can do it. The stage manager's up in the show, which is beautiful.
Lovely. Joy. Anyway, guys, we've got a guest, haven't we?
We can skip that if you want.
Yeah, we'll just jump to the end. We've got a guest. It's very exciting. And for the first time ever, George, for Beneath the Brick Season 2, we're going to ask you to give us a jingle for the guest.
The guest.
Oh, a whole year to work on that.
Can you not tell?
No, I could not. Let me tell you about our guest. I've written a little intro.
Okay.
I think you'll like it. You ready? I feel like it will need a bed. Do you want to give me a bed? Not the kind to get in.
Okay.
Some kind of bed. Here's the bed. You ready? Deep Trade at Manchester Met. She's been in Corrie for 152 episodes.
What?
She's been in Hit Show years and years. The A Word, EastEnders, Biff and Chip. On stage, she's been in The Bogus, JB Shorts, Vignettes, and a recent national tour of Party Games. She's the Manchester Actors Platform Programme Administrator with accolades, nomination, and awards galore. With a performance described as blistering perfection by The Independent, the greatest achievement all, she's a super mum to two incredible children. If we were going to make a clone, it would definitely be Chrissy Bowe!
Oh, even right there. Very good.
That was good. That was great, wasn't it?
That was incredible.
I'm out of breath, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Well, I carry on.
I was
boom. It's not competition.
I was boomed.
Chrissy Bowe, welcome to Beneath the Bricks for opening our new season. How was that intro for you?
It was incredible.
Should we keep it?
I think we should keep it for every guest.
Yours for every guest.
Just mine for every guest.
Great,
yeah.
Lovely. They'd get very confused. We have to ask you a very important question, which is another jingle. Is this a jingle?
No, I just say it.
You just say it. Okay, what's that question, George?
Who the hell is Chrissy Bowe?
Tell us who you are.
You've done it in my introduction.
End of section. Moving on.
Cool.
That was great. Do you want to play this or that here?
Yeah, can do.
I think we can find out about Chrissy Bowe with a little bit of this or that.
This is the earliest we've ever done this.
I know, but I'd just like to keep you on your toes, George.
Okay.
She's crazy.
This is a little quiz. All you've got to do is answer as quickly as you can.
Right.
And it will tell us everything we need to know about Chrissy Bowe.
Okay.
And her extraordinaire.
And then we might dive into why.
There might be some tangents.
Okay, then.
Here we go. We need a jingle for this.
This or that.
Oh, slightly different.
Yeah, though. I liked it, no?
Nice. Yeah, good. Cool. Yeah, anyway, hit me.
Okay, night or day?
Night.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Comedy or tragedy?
Tragedy.
Whoa! I'm with you on that. Everyone says comedy and I'm with you.
Why do you want some tragedy in your life?
Well, I don't know. Was it to watch, to be in?
Doesn't matter.
Just tragedy.
Tragedy.
Takeaway or a home-cooked meal?
A home-cooked meal, not by me.
good.
Oh,
yeah.
Strong.
A good book or a good film?
Good film.
Good, yeah.
Favourite film. Go. 3, 2, 1. Time's up.
Con Air.
Ooh. Con Air.
I don't know.
Put
the film.
Money.
You don't know Con Air.
It's a great film.
Hey, this is my section. This is ruining the section.
Okay.
No, I'm only joking. Film or a TV show?
TV show.
Really?
EastEnders.
Oh, yeah. She's just been in all of
them. Just been in EastEnders, haven't you?
Very, very briefly.
And Doctors?
But very brief. Well, not brief. More, a bit longer in Doctors.
Rest in peace, Doctors, everybody.
R.I.P.
I got in there just in time.
It's still going, isn't it?
No,
they stopped filming now.
Have they?
I think it might have even stopped airing.
Oh, no. What a time to be alive if you're an actor. No, you never get work. Onwards.
Zach or Gabriella?
For anyone listening at home, they are Chrissy's children. Chrissy's children.
You don't actually have to answer that. Oh, she said she mouthed.
I don't think we can show that.
No, we
can't. We'll highlight edit.
She said both.
She's had a Prosecco, man. Anything goes.
Spots or stripes? Moving swiftly on.
Spots.
Biff or Chip?
Oh, Chip.
Is Chip a dog?
No.
Chip.
Biff and Chip is the boy and the girl.
Oh,
I didn't know that.
I thought one was a dog.
No, that was
Kipper.
No, Kipper's the little boy.
Who's the dog?
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway,
that's a soundbite for a TikTok. Who's the dog?
My first thought.
Yes. Prosecco or white wine?
Prosecco in Manchester.
Prosecco in Manchester.
Wow, that's weird.
That is weird. Moving on. Wet socks or an itchy jumper? It's the old favourite tobacco, everybody.
It's good, and it split the pan, I'm not going to lie.
Wet socks.
What?
Yeah.
All day walking around with wet socks.
All day walking. I suppose you could take the jumper off though.
No.
You're not allowed.
You're mad. That's
no
spoiler rules.
The socks, it's a smaller area of your body to be upset. The jumper covers a lot of you.
Oh, good reasoning.
Okay.
I like that.
Okay. Kebab or a McDonald's after a night out?
McDonald's.
She always has a McDonald's here.
Fair, in fact,
I can't remember who it was. Who found you sat on the pavement with a McDonald's?
I've got no idea.
Everyone.
That was good.
Every single person. Is sneezing or coughing?
Sneezing.
Do you let it out or do you keep it in?
Let it out.
Hell
loud and proud.
Yeah.
I heard that someone held their sneeze in and something exploded inside their body.
Did I tell you that? That's what I say all the time.
No, I heard that when I was away.
In the theatre and they popped. Well, they didn't pop.
It was a theatre. I wonder whether it's a theatre anecdote.
I don't think that's true.
If you rolled it in. I feel it could be.
Do you reckon anyone's watching on their Alexa right now? Alexa.
How do you watch on an Alexa?
No, you know what I mean. Alexa, play Tom Jones on Shuffle. You're welcome. The only one who's done that.
Chaos all over the UK in the two homes that might be listening.
Shut up. Plan ahead or play it by ear?
Plan ahead.
Why?
because I'll probably end up playing it by ear anyway, because it'll all go wrong.
Oh, hedging your bets a bit.
Nice. Scrunch or fold? It's back.
Fold!
Fold, okay.
Oh, that was a strong...
Strong fold?
Fold.
It was a
scrunches
strong...
Scrunches are maniacs, fold. Right?
Who scrunches, apart from four-year-olds?
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Cancelled train or a traffic jam? I'll say that again.
Easy for you to say.
Traffic jam.
Okay.
Why? Three times I have to.
Why type three?
I don't actually know.
Because
you just sat in your own car, you've got all your bits, you've got...
Are you driving?
I'm driving.
Huh? Got Are you my, driving like, an automatic or a manual?
Manual every time.
Yeah. Me too, but like in a traffic jam, that's hell. Whereas on a cancelled train, I'm...
But then you'll be at the station, you can get stuff in the
shop. That's true.
Yeah, but then you've got to sit on comfy seats with other humans.
Yeah.
But you can go to the toilet.
That's true.
If you're stuck in a traffic jam,
that's true.
You might have to wee into a bottle.
Starter or dessert?
Starter.
Okay.
Horrible. What starter?
Wrong answer.
Pate.
Fucking what?
Pate.
Pate. What a waste of a starter.
Yeah.
Please, can I have some like fancy butter? That's what pate is.
Fancy butter.
No, it's like meat spread.
Meat spread.
Oh, still meat that reminds spread. Me of that stuff you got in a jar as a kid for your sandwich.
That's what pate is.
Exactly. Yeah. No, why would you do that when you could have garlic fancy. Dough balls?
Garlic
I
dough
do
balls.
Love a garlic dough yeah. ball.
Or petals.
Right,
from...
shut up. No belt or no shoelaces.
No belt.
Trousers will fall down.
It's I never
like,
wear a
it's,
belt.
It's not like you.
No. Oh, sorry.
No Let belt me... on your.
So if you don't wear a belt, your trousers will fall down, and if you don't wear shoelaces, your shoes will fall off.
No shoelaces.
Okay. Wet socks as well.
Walk around with my wet socks. They'll dry.
Wet me. Socks and no shoes.
She'll sound like she's sound crazy. Like, sound like Pingu.
Sat on a pavement eating McDonald's. Next one.
That's it.
What? That was an anticlimactic end. Oh. Anyway, thank you for this or that outro.
This or that, it's over.
Very good. So now I feel like we know a little bit about you.
Yeah, we should do that. We should do that at the all the time.
All the time. Great. Well, we're learning. Yeah. You know, it's only been a year. Good. Welcome to Beneath the Bricks. That was great to learn about you and your hatred for one of your children. She didn't say that. She didn't
no,
say
I
that.
Did.
She did.
And your children are amazing. I love them both. That's a great CV.
Yeah.
Do you know you were that good? Or is that just a reminder?
Do you know what? I think you mentioned that I was just in a show that was touring.
Yeah.
And it was only when I looked at the actual programme that had all the stuff I'd done.
Did you not write that?
I sort of wrote it, but when you see it written down, and then you don't
write
that
yourself.
You write your own bio,
Well, I have done for like, but I've never done a huge tour, and I assume they get the people.
No. Well, no, all your agent does it, and then they ask you. So they did, they gave it to me, and then I said, no, take that out. I don't want that in. Stop highlighting that Coronation Street, because 12 years on, and that's still, all
Yeah, that's what
I
people
am.
Go for.
And in theatre, I kind of think, oh, can't you put the theatre stuff there?
Yeah.
I really want to know about how you were described as blistering perfection by The Independent. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Tell us about that. That was in The Bogus. Was that really early on?
The Bogus Woman.
My apologies, so I missed off the,
just one word
the person there.
That was a one-woman play about an asylum seeker from a unknown African country who came over here to claim asylum, and it was basically her story, and I played her and then the other 51 people in
this
her story.
Incredible.
And you played 52 people?
I played 52 people.
Christ. Sounds quite relevant now. Let's bring it back.
Do you know what it was? I originally did it as part of the summer season in Theatre by the Lake in 2008, and then we brought it back, and then I did it as just a tour in 2015.
Just
and
a tour.
It's still relevant now. I mean, that's the tragic thing, is actually
that's clever,
constantly
isn't it?
Relevant. You could always do it. I'm like hoping to maybe do a little half-rehearsed reading version.
Is this on the cards?
Well,
hot
now
off
I'm
the
sat
press.
Here.
Hot off the press.
Oh, yeah, let's do that's it.
Oh, we were having a little chat, me and the producer and the director, and we were saying that we'd love to do not the whole thing, because also I don't know if I could actually do 90 minutes on my own now. But we were wanting...
Yes, you could.
Do you know, it was a lot.
Yes, you could.
But we were thinking about maybe doing a rehearsed reading version of it, bearing in mind a lot of it's in my mind already, but I just have a script, and try and just do it just to raise money for, like, refugee charities or anything like that.
Why are you doing that?
Well, hopefully...
No, I'm...
A little venue that I've heard
in Manchester. Very good. That's
so, yeah.
cool, isn't
And it,
it
was the best review I've ever had in my life.
Well,
so.
I mean, yeah, blistering perfection.
I'm
that,
surprised
it?
You've not got it on a T-shirt.
I'd get a freaking tattoo, to be honest with you. That's great. Maybe I got once described in a major newspaper as diabolical.
Really?
Yeah. And that is a tattoo. Look, no, it's not. So did you always want to be an actor? Was that everything?
No. I never wanted to be an actor. I wanted to be a prison officer. And I wanted to be a mental health nurse.
Did you?
Yes.
What happened? When did it all go wrong?
She didn't She decided she didn't want any money.
Yeah, yeah.
I decided to go for something really insecure. I applied to do nursing at university. And while I did my UCAS form with your statement that's like, these are all the reasons I'd be great as a nurse. And then I actually realised to do mental health nursing, you have to do normal nursing first.
Okay.
And I sort of realised I...
Was that like 5 years or...?
No, it's just...
It's just
being
a nurse.
I think the first year or so, you know, you just have to do general nursing, which is, makes sense.
Poop and sick.
But I just went, poop and sick and blood and poo sick. And sick. I don't know if I like that.
And then, and so, but where does prison officer come from?
Prison officer was, do you know what, actually, Navy was first. I wanted to be in the Navy, and I did my work experience when I was 16 in the Navy, because I lived in Plymouth.
Did you?
So I
what
was,
did you do in your work experience?
I worked with the physical training officers. Yeah,
PT, spent my time, beasting people.
Led a beasting. Session.
Did you?
Where it's like,
how old were you?
You will listen to this, go. And they're
really?
Like, yes, sir. And then so you're like, get down.
You?
And all the
how,
like,
tell
units.
Me how old you were?
16.
16?
Yeah.
Bossing the Navy?
Yeah. But obviously they just that? Got to do what they're told. So they had to act like I was the boss.
The thing.
Oh my God.
And then.
Wow. How self-affirming was
it
that?
It was amazing. Yeah. I can't lie. I was just like, get up. No, get down. Back up. Down. Up.
Wow. Did you, is that all you did, up and down?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Squats.
Wow, that is madness.
And then I realised that I don't know if I don't really want to be in the Navy. Prison officer, probably just because I love bad girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just going to do nursing, realised I didn't want to do it. And then I'd wanted to do theatre studies for A-level, but they didn't do it at my school.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought, oh, I'll just do theatre studies. So I just got the UCAS book, looked up theatre studies, picked 6 courses... And then just sent...
So you did theatre studies, not
well,
acting?
Well, no. So Manchester Met's course is called Theatre Studies Brackets Acting.
Mm. Mm.
So I didn't know it was a drama school. I just applied to these 6 places. And then 3 of them asked me to audition.
Wow.
Which I was like, that's odd. What do
Were
I
you
do?
Expecting to audition?
Well, no, because I thought I was just going to do a theatre studies
Just go to
course.
Uni?
Yeah. So I learnt a monologue. Didn't read the play. I just learned the
standard
script.
Yeah, everybody dies at the end.
And then did a Shakespeare, and then I somehow got in.
Wow! Now look at you.
Yeah, and I spent the first year thinking,
blistering perfection.
What is everybody doing? Like going to drama school when you don't want to be, when you had no interest in acting, and everyone's like, "Yeah, I'm going to be a tiger and like doing all this stuff."
Yeah,
is the most odd thing
Insane.
That you've ever seen in your life.
Insane. Did you ever walk past studios and look through a window and be like, what?
Yeah.
What?
Well,
it's like an asylum, isn't it?
And
like,
I just spend my time trying to catch someone's eye to be like, oh, what are we doing? But everyone was like, dead.
Wow, good.
Do you think that helped you, though?
Absolutely.
I feel like, not a similar story to yours, but I never wanted to be an actor. And I never had that pressure of like huge, huge pressure that people put on themselves.
Yeah.
So I just sort of bumbled around like...
Yeah. I think when people are like born to do it and it's all they've ever wanted in their life and they've never seen themselves doing something else, it makes it so much harder. And I don't know, I always think, I'll do something else, which I did for a year and a half.
Mm, what did you do?
I worked in the NHS in a sexual health clinic.
Did you?
I did.
Oh, I recognise
you. Yeah.
Really,
I bet you got some stories for that, haven't you?
For everyone that's listening. Very important to get your sexual
You were just on reception, right?
So I started on reception as a clerical officer, and then I started training to be a healthcare assistant. So, swabby wobbies.
Did you?
I had a little go, yeah.
Had a little go. That's awful, isn't it? Had a little go at the swabby wobby.
But yeah.
Wow.
So,
and do you think that helped you as an actor?
You know, I think...
Do you think that helped?
I mean, it helped in a way. It helped just being around people. It helped in... being able to act like everything's absolutely fine when inside you're thinking a lot.
You ever thought about writing a play about that?
I can't write.
No,
I know everyone says everyone can write, but I don't think it's true.
No, good.
But it would make a good play, actually. Ooh,
yeah, that's good, isn't it?
Get someone else to write a play about.
What's been, what if you had to pick one moment, what's your highlight from graduation?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose you could include training as well. Training to now.
probably The Bogus Woman.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Because it's just, and it's something that I don't think I'll ever get to do again. Such an amazing play that suited me. And I got to do millions of accents, which I love. And I got to play all sorts of people at the same time. So bowing at the end of that, it was a very traumatizing end to the play. So the lights would go down and it would just be complete silence.
Yeah.
And then the lights would come up on me smiling like, yay, I did it. And the audience would just very slowly clap.
That sounds awful.
Broken, and you know what I mean? I broke them. That's yeah.
Isn't that a weird feeling? Isn't that a weird feeling?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why you love tragedy more than comedy.
I think so. Making people feel any emotion, but especially when it really gets them. I just think that is such an amazing feeling.
I mean, there's a kind of unwritten thing here, isn't there? If we put a piece of theatre on and people leave without being changed in some way, then there's been no point to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
I think, that, here and theatre in general.
Well, it has to be. Yeah, it's not always when I go to the theatre.
No, of course not.
Sometimes I just leave freaking angry, which I suppose is in itself. Yeah. And has there been a low when you've gone, I'm out?
I've done a couple of plays that have just, you know, when you're in something and it's just not that good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can tell the audience are, you know, not that interested, and you just sort of think, I don't want to be here.
Yeah, when you just don't want to be on stage.
You don't want to be on stage, and you wake up and think, oh, okay, let's go and do it again. 12 more times to go. Yeah. And then you think, what am I doing?
What a waste. Have you ever any telly moments that have made you, like, question why you're doing it? You've done quite a lot of telly.
I have done quite a lot of telly, and I think the further on I've got, the more I enjoy it, because I actually give it a lot less importance.
Yeah.
Rather than being, oh my gosh, this is a telly, like, this is so important.
It does change, doesn't it? Yeah.
Do you know what? It's just a day out. It's doing something different. And I think I've done a real mix of telly. I've done bigger roles, and then I've done day player, one scene, three lines.
Yeah.
And I think now I love doing the smaller roles, because I just go in, I say my lines, I go home.
Yeah.
There's no pressure.
But you don't, do you feel creatively fulfilled with that?
I don't feel creatively fulfilled, but I think I feel fulfilled in that I'm going to pay my bills with that.
Jobbing, working actor.
I've had a nice chat with the makeup artist. I've met a really cool actor. I've had met someone who knows someone I know. So I feel fulfilled as a person, and I can almost ignore the fact that actually as an actor, I definitely didn't train to say he's in the back office.
Yes, mom. Yeah.
And then stand there. And I think you can take loads out of your day as well. I've started, looking at the cameras, trying to figure out what people are doing and the things they're talking about that don't make any sense. I've started trying to listen.
That's very noble. You're a better person than I am.
Well, are you
I get angry. I get really angry. I think it's because I've got, not in an arrogant way, I've got lots to do.
Yeah.
I find I'm just wasting my time.
Yeah.
Especially because the money's not often anything to write home about.
No. And I think that sometimes I do, when I'm thinking I need to get home, I promised the kids I'd be back by bedtime.
Mm-hmm.
It was one scene and we started at 11. Mm-hmm. So surely I would be home by 7.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But again, I've learnt just to not let it.
Yeah. Well, there's a thing, isn't it, where the actors are getting paid to wait.
Yeah.
We run, as you know, we run screen acting classes. And one of the acting classes I think we should do, it's a 4-hour class where nothing happens for 3 hours.
Yes.
For 15 minutes, you're getting told, travelling soon.
Yes.
For 15 minutes, we rehearse. 15 minutes, we shoot. And then 15 minutes, you wait to leave.
Yes.
And that's it. So nothing happens but for the last 45 minutes, which is the reality of shooting.
I'm not sure anyone would pay for that.
No, but not at all. But if we snuck it in the middle.
I think I never understood, I think as well, because I did my first main telly job was Corrie. Which is like, go, 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 right, shoot, cut, next, next, next. So I thought, this is great, high pace, you go to the next thing. And then the first time I did a drama, I couldn't understand why we were just waiting.
What was taking so long?
And then it was like, action, cut, okay, actors, if you want to just wait off. And then you'd be just waiting for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And my brain couldn't comprehend what on earth these people are doing.
It is bonkers,
isn't it?
And then
moving the camera. And so when people are like, what's the main bit about acting? It is waiting.
Waiting.
Mm.
And it's waiting, and then it's being told to be going somewhere, and then waiting there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you train 3 years?
3 years,
I mean, graduated 2004, I believe. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
20 years ago.
Good. 20 years ago. So two decades on.
Yes.
Training, yes or no? I feel like it's changed. Training has changed. Yeah. And the people who train have changed.
Yeah.
And the way training is has changed. But for you, gun to head, training, yes or no?
No.
Why?
And let's be specific. It's very difficult.
We're talking 3-year training.
It's very difficult. Yeah.
Maybe there's not one answer.
I think what's difficult is, I think, for me, I learn everything about acting after training.
Yeah.
Mm.
But those 3 years of training gave me 3 years where I didn't need a full-time job. I went out. I did lots of things. I think it shaped me as a person. And it taught me some of the basics of acting. But honestly, everything else.
I feel like you learn, for me, if I may answer the question I just asked you, trained for 3 years. But actually, the thing I got from drama school was that opportunity to be in front of industry professionals.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Manchester Actors Platform doesn't have a showcase.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But getting in front of a showcase and being able to write to agents and going, I've just finished this training.
Yes.
Is a huge leg up.
Totally.
I think so.
That, and also my voice and movement training, I think were absolutely invaluable to me. I still feel like voice and movement is so important.
I think I'm lucky that I am blessed with a loud voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always found projection and all of that has come quite naturally. I think for some people, that voice really, really helped the training and the getting in your body and all of that stuff. But I don't know, I felt like I just messed around for 2 years.
Yeah.
And waited. And then third year, I was like,
yeah.
Shows, audience.
Yeah. Fair enough.
But I also think drama school, the most important thing that drama school taught me, punctuality.
Yeah.
And it is,
amen.
It is the most important in my life. If I'm going to be late, I feel like I'm having a breakdown about it. And I accept that people are late and sometimes I am late. But I see so many people who have absolutely no punctuality and turn up late for everything.
Yep. Every day.
And I'm like, I don't understand that. It's so unprofessional to me.
Yeah.
But I feel like it is becoming less and less of a thing for people.
I wonder if it's because nobody gets sacked. Do you know what I mean? I know it's a bit of a sort of sweeping statement, isn't it? But I don't feel like anyone gets sacked anymore.
People roll their eyes and people...
Yeah, people go, oh God, they're a pest.
Yeah.
Crack on.
Yeah.
So apart from turning up on time, and there's a fly as well. Hello, little fly buzzing around. Apart from turning up on time, do you have a technique? Do you say you've got a technique or are you just kind of rolling with it?
My technique is no technique.
Yeah.
It is looking at the script, thinking, cool, how am I going to say that? And then however I think is just what I do.
Great.
It just
blistering perfection.
I've tried to have.
Thing is, though, that sounds great. If I'd do that, I'd be shit.
Absolutely. There is no one way, is there?
I'd be so shit.
Yeah.
Also taking direction.
Yeah.
I absolutely love taking direction.
Being told what to do.
I love being told what to do.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird thing as well? When you don't get told what to do, you either think that you're shit and the director's given up on you.
Yeah.
You never think, oh, I must be getting it right. You always think, shit.
No. Yeah. Some people do.
What am I getting wrong? Some people do. Yeah. I'm so shit, the director's given up on me.
And decided
that they can't do anything to help
Or they're like, oh, they're just not going to use my shot. They're going to...
It's fine, whatever.
They're not doing it because
it's a mad thing, isn't it? Because directors, if you ever say that to a director, they're just like, no, you're just doing it right.
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. I just don't need to worry about it.
I suppose you've got to zoom out and be like, well, the director is thinking of thousands more things than am I hitting the right
what
action?
What about me,
said
the actor.
Yeah.
It's very strange in telly, though, that there is often,
40
right,
people.
You're going to stand here, you're going to stand here, then you're going to walk in and you're going to do it there. Okay, should we go for a rehearsal? Great. Crew show? Great. Let's do it. And you sort of think, oh my.
Ridiculous.
Okay.
Truly ridiculous.
Just got to go with my gut instinct for everything.
Absolutely.
If I question it, then it just becomes very complicated.
God, but isn't that beautiful, though? Isn't that the beautiful thing about telly? That the gut instinct, you have to do the gut instinct.
You have to, yeah. There is
therefore,
no option.
Great. There's no... Yeah. The thing I often get annoyed about in theatre rehearsal is that it's like some actors really need to dive into everything, and that's valid, and that's... But often, the choice is the first choice.
Yeah.
Whereas in telly, you don't get that time to, well, especially in like continuous drama, you don't get that time to think, oh, but what if I played it this way?
No.
And yes, that might make for sometimes a more interesting performance, but then the instinct is usually right anyway. So if you just trust that instinct, then it's just, yeah.
Actually, it is about instinct, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's mad. And what is, this is a question we kind of touch on a lot, which we talked, the last season, we've talked about auditions, we talked about, oh, got a job on telly, we talked about all this kind of stuff. What defines success for you?
Success for me is being able to pay my bills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And...
can I just swoop in with it?
Yes.
Being able to pay your bills through acting jobs or just being able to pay my bills full stop?
Being able to pay my bills through whatever means is, you know, ideally just through acting jobs, but that sometimes happens and sometimes doesn't happen. And I mean, I'm quite privileged in the last, bizarrely since having kids, I've managed to pay most of my bills through acting.
Mm-hmm.
But that, and then, and just feeling happy in myself.
Great.
Which doesn't necessarily come because I'm doing some amazing job.
No.
It might come because I think, ooh, I've had three little one-day jobs. Brilliant. And I've enjoyed them. And that's it.
Joy.
Fucking great. Yeah. Have a bit of that.
Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Right, we're going to take a little break for the adverts. Hit us with the advert jingle, George.
The adverts. Weird. Good. That was weird, wasn't it? That was in 6-8.
It's the adverts time. George, what we're going to do is advertise what's coming up in the arches.
In the arches.
Hit me with what's in your arch.
Okay, in my arch, in our arch, in the arch is our, wow, weird, Pool No Water. Ital Theatre Productions, after just doing a sellout run at Yes in the Basement, which I missed actually, which was a nightmare. They're doing two nights here.
You'll be able to catch it here.
You'll be able to catch it on the 29th and the 30th of August. Starts at 8 p.m, so make sure you don't turn up at 7:30. Actually, if you turn up at 7:30, that's fine. You can have a
I'd
drink.
Say turn up at 7.
Yeah. So that's by Mark Ravenhill, a beautiful playwright.
Yeah.
So we've got that on the 29th and 30th of August.
Good.
Then on the 28th of August, which is actually before that. I don't know why.
That's a problem on the website, yes, isn't it? Who does the website?
In it.
Little Johnny.
Get the website person on it. We've got Take Back Our Country, which Take Back do rapid response. They're a beautiful theatre company.
They are.
Bex, Grant and Julie. Yes, so that's coming in. Ten takes on England. Cool. Don't know what that means.
I think it's a response to all the violence and racism.
Yes, indeed.
That's been knocking about. So indeed. It's going to be quite a powerful evening of theatre, I think.
So that is the 28th of August, 7:30. Tickets are a tenner. That will sell out.
Yes, if you come into that, get a ticket now.
Then, as a complete flip of the coin.
Yeah, we're nothing but diverse.
Then on the 31st of August, we have Rule the World, the Take That tribute.
Which is going to be...
Never!
I would say as... brilliant as Take Back.
Indeed,
I would
also say that. And we've paid for Robbie, so we got all five.
We have got all five. We paid an absolute fortune.
We paid extra for Robbie, for fuck's sake. Come, please.
Please come and buy all the drinks.
Yeah, so that's £20 a ticket, 7:30. Pay what you can, tickets available.
And then one more, Edinburgh.
And then fresh from Edinburgh, we have Bedsheets, which Ellen, a good friend of the Arches,
Ellen
is in.
Ellen Stokes is in it.
A one-woman play called Bedsheets, and it's just come from... Edinburgh Fringe. So
Edinburgher.
Puddle Theatre Company are doing it. That's the 1st September. And that is also at 7:30.
What a time to be alive. Thanks for the ads, George. No, let's outro.
There, bye, goodbye. See you after. Don't know what that was.
What they were some of my favourite adverts.
Yeah, man. I don't know who did them, but they were really good.
Little Johnny's fucked the website,
yeah,
though, hasn't
they? Yeah, they have, yeah. Well, how do you know that? You're not in the adverts.
I'm not in the adverts.
That's
am I not? I'm sure I'm supposed to be.
Smorge and Schmeiman.
Smorge and Schmeiman. Yep. We're good. We're here. We're here. Chrissy Bone. Give it up for Chrissy Bone. Woo! We've been talking about all things acting and all that jizzle jazz. Yeah. What are you drinking there?
I am drinking a Prosecco.
What?
Because she's in Manchester. Yeah. Did you not listen to this or that?
I genuinely, when I'm not in Manchester, I drink Pinot Grigio.
I think that's a lie, because when you started tour, you sent a picture of tiny Prosecco bottles.
I had
you
two. You drank
two tiny Prosecco bottles.
The whole time.
Were they tiny or were they just
no,
far
they
away?
No, they were tiny. They were very teeny tiny. I have very big away. Hands.
We're going to crack on chatting with you, if that's all right, Chrissy. This is our section we like to call Real Talk.
Real Talk.
Yeah. What's going to happen is I'm going to read you a sentence that is from your point of view, but invented. And I'd like you to speak on that. All will become clear.
Okay. Ready?
This is your sentence. The industry is not set up well enough to provide support for individuals with children to continue to pursue their career. Discuss.
Oh.
There you go. You've got kids. You've got beautiful children.
I do.
You're a successful actor. You've already said that your success is earning enough money and being happy.
Yes.
Which is great. You did say that you've had more work since you've had children.
I've had more work since I've had children.
But how is the industry laid out for you with two kids?
The industry is in no way set up for anyone with children or anyone that doesn't have an army of people that live within 10 minutes of them to help with the childcare, to deal with all the things that happen when you're working or away or even auditions. It has been really hard since having kids, but thankfully the self-tape has actually saved
my bacon.
But I think, you know, working hours, expectations, rehearsal, filming days, none of it really works if you have kids.
Yeah.
There's a kind of vibe that having kids can and does for some people mean giving up.
Yes.
And did you feel like that when you were pregnant, when you knew having kids? Or?
So when I was pregnant, I sent my agent an email saying, obviously he knew I was pregnant, saying, right, like, I'm due in October, 4 months, then let's just get cracking. I'll be back, like, back in the game.
Great.
No, had no idea that I would have my child and then think, oh, I don't want to leave this child immediately. Mm. So I was really surprised, because I thought I'll just have a kid and then just life will be normal.
You were surprised by your maternal instinct.
Yeah, genuinely was.
Oh, I love this
child. Oh, my God, I want to be around it.
I mean, so Ben, my husband, was the broody one. He desperate for kids. I was eventually said, okay, but it wasn't, you know.
God bless Ben.
Yeah,
yeah, we love Ben.
I love him. But yeah, I just thought, right, cool, like have him and then get back to normal. And then this maternal instinct kicked in and I thought, wow, okay, I don't want to put this kid in a nursery when they're tiny teeny. And we don't live near family, so we don't have the, you know, grandma or auntie that lives around the corner that can come and take them whenever. So I didn't do anything and I said, right, I will let my agent know when I feel like I'm ready, but it's not now. And I think when Zach was 8 months old, I had a audition for a storyteller in a CBeebies kids program. And basically, if I did those 5 days work, then that would mean I could spend the next 4 months or 5 months off, because we were very, very frugal. Like, we didn't go out, we didn't do anything. And so we eked out the money. So I did those 5 days, which was awful, because I was away from
him. Awful because you were away from
him. Awful because I was away from him. And I didn't really feel like, I think because I was a new mum, I didn't really feel like I could ask for anything specific. Okay, yeah. I don't think I even knew what I wanted to ask for, but they came away with us for the last day of filming because it was in Anglesey. So we spent 2 days in a wet, cold Anglesey.
When you say you weren't sure what you were asking for, what do you mean? Of the crew?
So I think,
or
like now,
the kids, or?
I think if, God forbid, I had another baby now, I'd feel much more comfortable going, like, I'd love the job, but I'm going to need to, can there be a room so might, like, someone can come with me with the baby?
Okay.
Can I potentially start, you know, have a little longer lunch break so I could go back home and feed them or right, whatever.
Yeah,
I needed.
And what do you think their response would be?
I think.
And by their response, I mean the industry response.
Yeah.
So things are getting better. And I think if you don't ask, you don't get.
Mm.
I have asked for things, and sometimes you get the vibe that people are not particularly happy with you.
Okay.
But they will try a little bit and accommodate you. But I still think deep down, people think, oh God, what a nuisance. How annoying. Why can't we should have just got the actor that's not going to ask for like a little bit extra here.
Yeah.
Or can they go?
Did it ever occur to you to stop?
It occurred to me to stop, but because I've been lucky enough to get little telly jobs here and there, I realised if I stopped, I then have to get a 9-to-5 job 5 days a week.
So which meant more time
Which
away.
Then means I'm always away. So then they have to be in childcare 5 days a week because we don't have family. Whereas at the moment, if I get an acting job, we are lucky enough to have like one of our mums comes up or Ben can take time off.
If you could surmise it, how did things change before having kids, getting an acting job to after? Was it just a personal change for you that it made it more difficult or?
To do the acting
job. To do the jobs, yeah. While you were on them, going for the auditions, how did it change?
I mean, I think part of the reason I've got more acting jobs since having kids is because I care less about the acting.
Yeah.
All my self-tapes are done in a small window. Got the lines right done. I've got no time. One of the kids is going to wake up or I've got to pick them up from school. So I don't have the time. And actually, weirdly, I think that comes across in a self-tape.
I think it absolutely does. I mean, we've talked about self-tapes lots, haven't we?
Yeah.
I feel like you give yourself 3 takes. If you've got the lines right in one of those takes, do it. We've just talked about the instinctive idea of just doing it. Like, some people I know will spend hours.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's healthy.
No.
But I also think that's not what you do in an audition.
No, you wouldn't get that time.
Yeah.
And I know that in an audition, the excuse, and I'm using inverted commas here for the listener, in an audition, I'd be able to take direction. I'd be able to speak to the director and stuff, which is true. And I have never, because I'm 3 years out, I've never had a telly audition that hasn't been a self-tape.
Wow.
Ever. Mm. Ever.
They're a thing of beauty. I love them.
It's been a long time.
Anyway, we're digressing. We're talking about self-tapes. And I hate talking about
it. I have a question for you, Chrissy. So you said that, so not getting a 9-to-5 because you'd be away from them more.
Yeah.
But a 9-to-5 job is guaranteed money.
Yes.
So, and I know you have Ben and Ben works, but was there any thought being put into once you had kids of that job security and that money security? Was that at all a factor in terms of deciding maybe this you should stop? Or did you always think something will come?
I have always believed the universe will provide. So there's been probably 2 or 3 moments where I've thought, we have no money. We literally have no money. I've used the emergency money. I've used that. What am I going to do? Right, I'm going to have to get a job in an office. And then, lo and behold, something has happened.
Yeah.
But I think, do you know what? If I had to get a job in an office, I'd love that. I love admin. I genuinely love admin. And I still think, when the kids are older, maybe I will just get that office manager job because I genuinely like it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when I think about it, it's not like the worst disaster scenario in the world. It's more like, oh, I'll just hold off for a bit longer because I still have to sort loads of stuff out.
Yeah.
How
can the industry change then to support? I remember when Anna Jordan came to do Mother Courage at the Royal Exchange, talking about theatre. It was really hard for her to get childcare.
Yeah.
And as a writer, I guess there's less expectations for you to be in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she still wanted to be there, still wanted to be a part
of it.
And
she was curating quite a lot.
And one of the things we were like, well, I can't believe there's not a childcare option. Now, it's easy for me to say that, but there's budgets, there's which room, there's staffing, all these kind of costs. But how can the industry make it better?
I mean, childcare options would be incredible. If any of the bigger theatres that maybe they don't have more money, who knows? But if there was any option for childcare, for you to be able to bring your child and them to be left somewhere with staff who are qualified to look after them, that would be amazing. Changing rehearsal, making the rehearsal schedules shorter, which some people do say, if you rehearse for less hours, you will still get the same amount done.
Yeah. What's that wonderful phrase that you do stuff in the time that's given.
Yeah.
It's better than that, but I can't remember what it is.
No, yeah.
I worked on something last year and I can't remember which show it was. And the main person, they worked 9-to-5. And most filming is 8-till-7.
Yep.
They worked 9-to-5 and they got exactly the same amount done because everyone got to see their families, they got to do stuff.
Yeah.
And everyone was knackered. On it. They were on it.
Yeah. I've never heard that before, but so, I mean, you didn't put it eloquently. But in that way, if you're right, if you only have a week,
You're
going to do it in a week.
Yeah.
That's the...
We fill the time out because we give ourselves more breaks. We give ourselves more stuff to do.
Yeah.
If we know we've got 40 minutes to move a camera, they'll fanny about with it.
Yeah.
if they've got 10 minutes to move a camera, they'll get the camera moved, you know, yeah. And the rehearsal room or whatever. But yeah, it is a thing. So maybe shorter shoot days. Mm.
I also think the sooner people accept and realise that everyone has a life.
Yeah.
And that everyone's whole being shouldn't just be wrapped around acting. And it's like sometimes you get a job and then they just assume you will be available for every single thing. Yep. What do you mean you're not available for that? And you think, well, but why would I be? But it's that expectation that you'll drop everything.
Which is an odd thing, isn't it? Because when you start out, I guess, you've got that desperation to please.
You will drop everything.
And you were saying before, like, you don't know what to ask for. You don't, you know, you will drop everything. I miss my brother's wedding.
Yeah.
And I just don't think I would now.
No.
Like, I go, do you know what, whatever, it's cool, it was a good gig, whatever. But yeah, you do, don't you? And then as you get older, I think you allow yourself more shift and more sway and more time to just go, do you know what, nah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I did an audition the morning after my wedding. It's my biggest regret in the world.
Wow.
It was for Shakespeare, which I don't like, I hate it. I knew I hated it, and I got up, and I was not feeling great.
No.
And I applaud that. That's fine.
I woke up in my wedding dress and I
great.
Got out. I got the train, and we were living in London at the time, and I did this audition. And they gave me a recall, but I feel like it was because I'd come the day after my wedding.
Yep.
But for the rest of my life, I will think, I cannot believe.
I can't believe that.
I thought that
that's
was
amazing.
Sometimes some other shit's more important.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's
So why did you do that? Was it because of your agent? Was it because of just yourself?
I thought I should.
Yeah.
And I know I don't like Shakespeare, but this is a new telling of Romeo and Juliet, and it's like this, and it's going to be so cool, and you really it's a great company, and I think all of that though, it just wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
Or now I would say, it's my wedding. Is there any way I could come? I can come to wherever you want.
Yep.
Is there any way I could audition on a different day?
Or I guess now what they'd probably say is, let's Zoom.
Yeah.
Back
in the day. So they.
Back in the day before Zoom.
There wasn't Zoom.
I sent you a picture on carrier pigeon. I don't know. I don't know why your accent's changed.
That's what I sounded like back in the day.
Yeah. So just to wrap up this kind of real talk. So, no, don't apologise. People out there, young actors, I don't even say young actors just starting out, whatever the correct phrase is, who are considering having children. What's your advice to them? What are your tips? And anyone thinking, oh, if I have kids, that's the end.
No.
What are you saying to them?
I'd say it's absolutely not the end. It's the end of your life as you know it.
Yes.
It's not the end of acting. And I do think acting's difficult, whether you've got kids, no kids, dependents, people you care for. It's difficult, whatever you do. And I think putting something you want first and foremost will make you a happier person. And you know what? You can act until you're gone. So if you have kids, it might mean that you can't do some things for a certain amount of years, but there is time after, there's time. You know, some people act with their kids and get their kids involved, which I absolutely won't. But it's not the end. I think it's just a different part of life and you've got to go about it a different way. And you change a bit and it is easier because sometimes it's better to have something else that matters more than your career. But also, if you want to put your kids in full-time childcare from 8 months or whatever, absolutely. Like, you do you, because everyone's so different.
Yeah, some people quantify that
parenting
differently as well.
Yeah, totally.
Amazing. I think that'd be really important to hear.
We
say here all the time, you never quit acting.
No.
As soon as you're an actor, like, if you're pursuing that career, if you say you're an actor and you put your life into being an actor, and then in 5 years you go, actually, I want to change.
Mm.
That word quit carries such like a burden, and it kind of allies itself with the word fail or, you know, or queer or whatever. Like, and that's terrible. Actually, you never stop. A friend of mine, who was a teacher, he came to a workshop here with his students from Berry College and listened. It was our industry day that Chrissy was a part of.
Fantastic.
And you were a part of.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know this, the kids from that day took some information from us and probably most of the time we're going, these guys need to shut up, that's fine. But whatever. Do you know what happened? The teacher quit his job and is now an actor.
What?
No.
Yep.
Oh.
He went, no. This no. is, yeah.
I he's love now, that.
He what emailed me fuck? Out of the blue. He said, can I have a meeting? And he came in, he went, I listened to everyone talking and I went, I want a piece of that. Yes. Used to be an actor, became a teacher, now he's an actor.
Oh,
again.
I love that.
Fuck
love
off.
It, man. That is love it. And an absolutely brilliant example of actors never stop being actors.
No.
That's fucking amazing.
Brilliant, isn't it? Absolutely I love brilliant. That. So there you go. But yeah, take that away from you, man. I can't so believe I've not shared that with you.
No, that's mad.
We're going to move on from real talk, if that's all right. Chrissy, yeah. Thank you for sharing those insights. I think it's really important.
Real talk.
Sorry, yeah, outro, yeah. And we're going to go to question from the panel. Let's go from question from the panel
is
first.
This,
this we are the panel, yep.
Question from the panel. Bitch.
No. I feel like we should have just clocked out on the song, the intro, because that was a great jingle, yeah. Mate.
Thank you.
Bitch.
I don't know if that's good.
If that's offended anyone, I can
apologise.
Yeah, I apologize.
I came out without me thinking.
This question is, what's your karaoke song and why?
So it depends on the level of Prosecco.
When she's in Manchester, drinking Prosecco, it's a different song.
Yeah, it's Oasis in outside. Manchester. Blur in London.
It's either Hey Big Spender.
Oh yeah, oh. I've heard that rendition once or twice.
No, it's just because it's a low voice. It's a low voice.
Give us a go now.
No, okay. Absolutely not.
If I'm feeling wild,
then it's All That Jazz from Chicago.
All That Jazz.
Oh, wait, what?
Well, actually, they're all coming out
from
now.
Oliver. What the fuck was that?
Yeah, or occasionally. Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith. If I want to
never.
Wreck, if I
want to,
I wreck my voice.
That
when
song
I do
is
it,
the
though.
Hardest song to sing. Very good. That was good. Nice answer. I like that one. That was good. Now it's time for. I'm excited for George's jingle, George of the Jingle. We call him.
Oh God, Christ Almighty.
Ready? This is question from the guest.
Question from the guest. Ba-dum, bum.
No swearing this time.
No bitch this time.
Question from the guest. So, Chrissy Bone, we've asked you to come up with one of the most probing and exciting and interesting questions that you can think of.
Okay.
What is that question?
You might have been asked this before, but it is very important to me.
Size 11.
Very good.
Is it? I would have thought you were a 12, actually.
No, 11.
What about you?
I'm just a meagre 10.
Oh, okay.
He's a couple of inches taller than me.
That's true. That's
a couple of inches.
How tall are you?
6'4".
Yeah, 6'1".
Fuck off.
You're 6'1"?
Yes.
No, you're not.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, you are. Okay.
I can't believe it.
It's because I'm about 6'1 wide as well. I'm like a walking cube.
I didn't mean that.
Yeah, right. Come on, what's your question?
Would you rather...
Good start.
...be able to fly...
Yeah.
Or be invisible.
Invisible all day long.
Why?
100%. Because I could just hide. Whereas if I'm flying, I feel like I could avoid people.
I think I'd get shot.
But I'd get shot.
Yeah.
But also, I'd still have to be doing. Whereas I could be invisible. If I could be sat here now, but I could be full of people. I could just go. And that's it. That's all I do. I'd just be sitting invisible. And that's great.
Yeah, I'd also be invisible. But that what I'd do with it would be more like cool.
What would you do?
Like go into mad places.
Like where?
Well, I'd just be able to get into. You'd be able to get into fucking anywhere.
I know. Would you not just like to have a sit down?
Well, I can do that anyway. I can do that anyway.
Sit down, invisible. Great.
Yeah, I know I can do that anyway. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Where would you go? Where would you go? Where would you go, Chrissy, if you were invisible?
Where would I go?
Would you? Well,
but the obvious place is like the bank, isn't it?
Do you know what? I would go and sit in the casting director's room and watch them watch self tapes.
Oh,
genuinely,
God.
only because I'd just be really interested in whether they're like, boring, like, what they're actually like.
Did you know where I'm going? Into a prison?
Yeah.
No, I'm not going into a fucking prison.
I'm invisible.
You're
I'm going
what?
To like...
Go to a bank and take hold
I'm
of
going like backstage
no, you can't hold anything
Glastonbury
if you're invisible.
Or like,
you can't take the money, you're invisible.
You can't touch stuff when you're invisible.
But you can't take... What are you going to do with it? It's just money floating
around. They're not going to go, ooh, look at that money floating, I'll grab it. They'll go, whoa, run away.
No, you can't. Surely you can't. The rules of invisibility. Surely.
Well, who's making these rules up?
But by that rule, you can walk through fucking walls. And that's a whole different thing.
This section's taking longer than I thought it would.
I don't think you can walk through walls.
No, well, you're just invisible.
Well, yeah, but then you can pick things up. Then.
No, I think Chris is meaning that people would see the stuff getting moved.
No.
But then if I put it under my coat.
No, because then you would be discovered if you were invisible.
I'm wearing a coat.
An invisibility cloak.
You can't wear a coat if you're invisible.
So am I naked?
No, you're wearing clothes, but you're all your clothes. Everything you're wearing is invisible, and you're invisible.
Right, I'm just having to sit down here, guys, because you see what happens when you get into it.
Yeah,
chaos.
No.
So we've all decided invisibility, I
and
think.
And then you click your fingers and
flying would be good.
I'd love to, you'd have to fly.
Are you saying fly?
There's a bit of me that would like to fly.
Yeah.
But again, you're right.
You would get shot.
Everyone would be like,
you
what's
would
that?
So
it's
get
a
shot.
Drone.
Instantly shot.
But you shoot drones down, do you?
It's a drone, shoot it.
Good, no, good. No, no, no. That was a good section. I enjoyed the question from the guest.
Question though. From the guest.
That was good. We're going to sign off with our TED Talk. A useless or useful bit of information from our guest that will inspire or send us into a quagmire of despair.
No, never. Always inspire.
It's time for a jingle.
TED Talk.
George is tired. He's also got dinner reservation at 7.
I do,
as we know.
I
he's got
indeed.
Dinner reservation, darling.
Well, I didn't know what else to say.
I was going over dinner reservation. Turns out they're going to Common in the Northern Quarter.
Yeah,
not so
are.
Dinner reservation.
Well, I didn't know how else to say that, so I wrote
why
it and then went...
going for a pizza.
Well, because I didn't know I was going for a pizza at that time.
I have a dinner reservation.
Chrissy Bone, what is your TED Talk? Sign us out, please.
My TED Talk is, there is one thing in the world that you are better than anyone else at, and that is being you.
Slay. Slay.
Just said slay, you awful human
big
being.
Big slay.
You're
oh, no.
You are like freaking, no, no, no. We're going to have to join us for episode 2 when George won't be here. Thank you, Chrissy, for your TED Talk, which had nothing to do with Santa's mode of transport. It was delightful. And we're going to have a big round of applause. Everybody put your hands together, please, for Chrissy Bone!
Thank you for having me.
Time for a Prosecco. That was episode 1. Albion's here, everybody. That was episode 1 of Beneath the Brick Season 2, George.
Beneath the Brick Season 2 out.
Nice. See you later, team.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.